CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm joined by my colleagues, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online. Considering Rudy Giuliani, a very famous mayor of New York, before that a federal prosecutor. However, within these last days, the federal prosecutor has become a target of federal prosecution, if we understand correctly the circumstances of an early morning raid on Mr. Giuliani's residence in New York, seeking documents to do with his time working for the President of the United States, Donald Trump, in Ukraine. This generally speaks to the impeachment controversy of the Trump administration time in office and then afterwards the Trump administration time out of office. But it focuses on Rudy Giuliani and what he did and did not say about the activities of the Ukraine government while he was investigating the allegations that Hunter Biden, the now president's son, had been employed in some fashion that was irregular, and that the Biden family, in seeking to suppress this information, was using irregular means. It's extremely complicated, so I rushed to Andrew McCarthy because we're not looking to resolve the facts. We're looking at the basis for the investigation of Rudy Giuliani. Andy, to distill all this down to my amateur brain, it comes to the fact that the raid was about the suspicion, the allegation, that Mr. Giuliani was an agent of the Ukraine government, not an agent of the President of the United States. Is it that simple? Because that's a pretty simple question to answer. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. John, that part of it is that simple, it looks like. The investigation, according to what the lawyers who were searched, was Rudy Giuliani, his residence and office in Manhattan, and Victoria Tunsing, who worked a little bit with Rudy in connection with the Ukraine stuff, and her home in Washington also was searched. I think the searches were specific to devices that they were looking for. But what they were apparently told, because you have to leave a copy of the warrant when you do a search, a federal search, the warrant indicates that the investigation is of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And the theory, obviously, that the government seems to be working on, this is an investigation, I want to say, of my old office, the Southern District of New York. But more importantly, you mentioned Rudy being a legendary prosecutor. That was as the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York. So it's actually Rudy's old office that's investigating him. But the allegation, evidently, is Rudy was working with a couple of Ukrainian guys to try to dig up information about Biden in Ukraine. And they, in turn, were being led and working in conjunction with Ukrainian government officials. And those people wanted, for various of their own reasons, Marie Yovanovitch, who was the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, they wanted her out. And to make a long story short, Rudy lobbied President Trump to get Marie Yovanovitch removed from her position as American ambassador to Ukraine. But what Giuliani would say is that he was working for President Trump, and the reason he wanted her removed had to do with whether she was an impediment to Trump's agenda in Ukraine, that he wasn't doing it as an agent of Ukraine. And he points out that when he has contracts with people he's working with, he specifically writes into the contract that he doesn't lobby the United States government on behalf of foreign governments. So, but that you're right. That in a nutshell is the theory, that that when he lobbied his client, the president, to remove the U.S. ambassador, that he was doing it on behalf of Ukraine rather than on behalf of President Trump.
That is.
So, Andy, just to be clear, was money exchanged between the Ukraine government and Rudy Giuliani?
It doesn't look like directly, Thaddeus. I think what they might say, now, There's two elements of this. One is a Ukrainian official wanted to retain Rudy as a lawyer for the purpose of, unrelated to Biden, for the purpose of trying to track down funds that the current Ukraine or the then current Ukrainian government contends were stolen from Ukraine during the prior government. And that would be a much more interesting element of this, I think, if the deal had gone through. But Rudy ultimately declined the engagement. And that's where he points out that in his contracts with foreign parties, he puts in there specifically that he didn't lobby the U.S. government on behalf of foreign entities and governments. But he did not – that engagement ended up falling through. So I guess their other theory would be if the Ukrainian guys he was working with were being paid by Ukrainian officials – and they in turn retained Rudy for legal work, which one of them did. They might try to make an argument that it's just a pass through, but I think that would be a very weak contention. And there's no evidence that I'm aware of that that's in any way connected with the project of digging up information about the Bidens.
We've done the simple part now. Is it a FARA or is it a not a FARA violation? Now we get the complicated part where I get lost. Andy, I've written all these notes down, so help me if I get them wrong. But it appears that your former colleague, Mr. Giuliani, is credulous when it comes to information from Ukraine. He followed a path that was not substantive about what Mr. Biden did or did not say in order to have a prosecutor for Ukraine fired. He then followed a path that was from these men seeking to have him dislodge the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. In both instances, if I follow your reporting carefully, Mr. Giuliani was listening to people who were misleading him. One, Joe Biden, and two, these actors for the Ukraine government. I'm not using their names because I don't want to bring them in. They're too complicated. It would appear that Mr. Giuliani is not being thorough these days. Is that the Giuliani you worked with back in the 20th century?
Well, let's remember, John, the Giuliani that I worked with had a different job. His job was to be a federal prosecutor and to make sure that when we, the prosecutors who were working for him, went into court, that we were prepared and that we weren't, chasing after ridiculous theories. In his current role, what he was doing was representing President Trump and President Trump's campaign, where they were trying to make a political issue of Biden's fitness for office. But the bottom line fact here is that, and I know America will be shocked to hear this after 50 years of similar activity, but this whole thing comes down to Giuliani crediting something that Joe Biden said about himself that turned out not to be true. That is, Biden said that he threatened the Ukrainians that if they didn't fire the country's leading prosecutor, the government's leading prosecutor, within 6 hours, he would withhold $1 billion of Ukrainian funding, and therefore they fired the guy. It's not a true story. He may have had conversations like a million other people in the American and Western governments to that getting Ukraine to crack down on anti-corruption. But when Biden was in Ukraine, the prosecutor we're talking about was never fired. And what actually looks like happened here is the managing director of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde, threatened to cut off $40 billion of Ukraine's Western aid package. And when that happened, the then president of Ukraine, Petro Poroshenko, immediately called for the prosecutor's firing. So that looks like it was probably the triggering event. But this whole thing is all based on, Biden gave a speech where he puffed himself up like a tough guy. And if you actually ran down the details of the speech, it didn't happen the way he said he did. But because Giuliani was in a job where he was representing the Trump campaign, and it was expedient for the Trump campaign to make Biden look as bad as possible in terms of potential corruption connected to his son, they picked up the narrative and ran with it. as if what Biden had said was true. Whereas I think, you know, to come back to your initial point, if I was a prosecutor working for Rudy, and I told him that I had based an entire case on something Joe Biden said being true, I probably would have been looking for a new job.
That is.
Andy, why the raid? Couldn't they have just brought in the materials that were being requested or subpoenaed?
Thaddeus, I think that's the most important abuse that people really need to be focused on here. Because, first of all, it's constitutional in situations where you have serious crime for the government to do a search warrant on a lawyer's office. Because you can imagine, and this happens in, for example, organized crime cases where, you know, the mafia family will try to arrange to have a lawyer involved when they're doing their communications in order to try to use the attorney-client privilege to shield them from investigation. So you can't obviously let that go on. But if you're talking about a situation where you don't have a serious crime, and FARA is not a serious the Foreign Agents Registration Act, the Justice Department prosecuted that exactly seven times in the half century before Mueller pretextually used it in the Russiagate investigation. And they only got it's only been used successfully three times in that 50-year period. The Justice Department doesn't treat it as a serious crime. And the reason why it's such an abuse is these lawyers are actually busy lawyers with lots and lots of clients. So what happens when they go in and do a raid – rather than, for example, giving Giuliani's lawyer a grand jury subpoena and saying, here's the information we want you to produce. Instead, they get a search warrant and they let the FBI go in and rifle through the office and rifle through the home. And what ends up happening is the constitutional rights, the attorney-client privilege of all the clients of these lawyers are violated, because what happens is the prosecutors come in. Well, the agents come in, they bring the communications to the prosecutors, and the government goes through those to see what's relevant and what's not relevant to their case. So it really is outrageous to proceed this way. The Justice Department usually frowns on it and doesn't let it go on unless it's a very serious case. You know, if it's a mafia case, you might be talking about murders, and you could sort of understand why they would do a search warrant. But even then, it's rarely done.
Rudy Giuliani is the question mark here initially, because he was given bad information twice. Once about Joe Biden, what he had and hadn't done in Ukraine, and then from Ukrainians about what was or was not true about the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. However, the larger story here is the Garland Justice Department, the Merrick Garland Justice Department. And when we come back, we're going to discuss the Merrick Garland Justice Department and his decision both to have an early morning raid on Rudy Giuliani's residence and also to proceed in a fashion that you'd have to say is suggestive of politics when it comes to the tragedy in Minnesota. Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.